Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
It's Max Chadwick, and he joins us now. What's going on, Max?
How's it going, guys?
It's going, it feels like most of the time when you would sign a guy to a $160 million contract extension, you'd be elated. Never in Cleveland. You don't get that. You don't get that luxury. It's not elation today. It's much more the opposite.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, you know, Myles Garrett, obviously getting him back there is probably a good thing overall. But, you know, it is a little weird because I don't think Cleveland's any closer to competing for a Super Bowl. And if he wants to compete for Super Bowls, it makes sense of why he wanted to get out of there. And honestly, I thought it made sense for the Browns to try to trade him too and get as many assets as possible. That way they can fully rebuild. But I don't know. It seems like a little bit of a weird move. It seems like a win now move for Cleveland when they should be trying to rebuild this thing from the ground up.
Yeah, Max, plus we're dealing with the entirety of, he said he didn't want to be here, he didn't believe in the GM and the team's ability to compete, and then all of a sudden he slipped on a limb like 2 days later. I don't know how closely you've been covering or like following the Miles catastrophe that has been, but he spoke today, it was his press conference today, in which on the press conference table we had lined with little dinosaurs and we had cupcakes with dinosaurs. It made no sense. Not the point that we're talking to. But he decided to go next question on a question asked about whether or not he knew the Browns' plans at 2 and if that had any impact on him coming back. And with $40 million on the table as an option, do you think that for a top player like Miles to come back to a team, he has to know what's happening at 2?
Probably. They probably, you know, said, hey, this is what our plan is overall over the next few years to try to get this thing back on track. He probably knows at least somewhat what they're planning on doing. But honestly, I think him going back to Cleveland was just him getting the biggest non-quarterback deal in NFL history. I think that's what it boiled down to, right? Money talks at the end of the day. So that's probably what it was. I don't know if he ever changed his opinion on whether or not he thinks he could compete for Super Bowls with the Browns. He probably still has the same opinion as when he requested the trade, but the difference is now, you know, they ponied up and gave him a $160 million contract. So that's probably the difference in why he decided to ultimately stay.
All right, Max, let's get into the quarterback talk. We've come a long way somehow within the last week with free agency opening up, and a lot of things have changed. Let's start with what we know to be true. Kenny Pickett, a quarterback, not going to say the quarterback, but a quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. They traded for him for DTR and a fifth. Do you think there's any potential of Kenny Pickett being a starting quarterback once again anywhere in the future within the 2 years left on his contract?
No, I don't. I don't think this is a guy you want starting out there. If he is starting, he's a starting quarterback next year. That signals to me at least that Cleveland is very content with being the worst team in the NFL and getting, you know, maybe Arch Manning the year after or someone else in the draft maybe the year after. No, I don't think Kenny Pickett is a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL right now. He's not a terrible option if your starter goes down with an injury or if your starter is really struggling and he can maybe, you know, be a guy who can start a few games for you. But if you're going into the year with Kenny Pickett as your week one starter, you're probably content with being one of the worst teams in the NFL.
Was a fifth in Dorian Thompson-Robinson too much to give up?
It was a little weird. I wouldn't have given up that much. I don't even know how much of an upgrade Kenny Pickett is over Dorian Thompson-Robinson, honestly. So attaching a fifth-round pick to it, too, is a little strange. So, yeah, I didn't love the trade, but it wasn't abysmal by any means.
Okay, Max, so one of the main things that we know that comes with Kenny Pickett as well, hey, we talk about hand size, and that obviously Kenny had very tiny hands. That was a big thing everyone focused on. It was made a joke of. But it is something that people who pay very close attention to the combine and where guys go and draft analysts and college football analysts like yourself actually pay attention to. How big of a deal is hand size for the quarterback spot?
I think there's a little bit of a threshold that you need for it, but I mean, I don't think it's that important, honestly. I don't think it's, you know, you completely cross the guy off because he has small hands or anything like that. We've seen quarterbacks with smaller hands succeed before, right? But there obviously is a threshold that you need to be at, and Kenny Pickett had some of the smallest hands of all time, so that was maybe that played a factor in his play. But yeah, I don't really factor it that much into my evaluation.
All right, the last thing I'll ask you on Kenny Pickett: do you ever trust a quarterback that wears two gloves?
It's a good question, right? I mean, Teddy Bridgewater was pretty good when he was doing it until obviously injuries kind of robbed him of his career. But we haven't really seen it too often. Maybe that's why, you know, he had to wear two gloves because of small hands. Maybe that's a sign of small hands. But it's an interesting question. I haven't seen it work yet. So that might be a part of the evaluation for sure.
We're going to have to, I want to see one quarterback. Just take me a quarterback that I know is already good and then put two gloves on him. Like, if we can get Arch Manning this upcoming year to wear two gloves, he might be able to dispel the narrative.
Yeah, he might be able to. I mean, he should be a very talented kid, and it'll be exciting to see what he could do next year. But yeah, it'll be, like I said, I have not seen a two-glove quarterback work yet. Again, it doesn't really factor in for me, but it is interesting, like you mentioned, that you haven't really seen it work yet.
Max Chadwick of PFF with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, once again, being serious, Max. Is there any chance that the Browns right now, out of the three quarterbacks that are available and realistically thinking they're only in play for two of sort of the highest caliber guys left, your Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins, and Aaron Rodgers, are they better off with any of those guys than they are with taking one of the top quarterbacks at two?
I don't think so. It is interesting, though, because, you know, Kevin Stefanski has some ties to Kirk Cousins, and that might be an option. And you know, I don't know if Kirk Cousins is going to want to go to another franchise where they draft a guy behind him, like it happened with Atlanta, but that might have to happen, honestly. So he might not have a choice. So I don't think they're really in the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes. It seems like it's down to the Giants and the Steelers. Russell Wilson still seems like an option for the Browns, but I'd be a little surprised if he went there either. So I think it'll probably be either Cam Ward or Sanders or Kirk Cousins. It seems like it's what is going to be Cleveland's plan at quarterback next year.
If you go with any of those three guys, though, let's say any of the quarterbacks or any of the teams at the top of the draft that are sort of quarterback needy, if you bring in any three of those guys, that's stopping you from taking a quarterback? Are any of those guys good enough to do that?
I don't think so. But then again, it's not an elite quarterback class either. So I don't, like, if you have a top three pick and you brought one of those guys in, you could say, okay, we can wait because, you know, maybe next year's top end quarterbacks are better than what it is this year. So that could be an option because, like I said, there is no Caleb Williams or Drake May or Jaden Daniels in this year's class. So that might be what teams think. I don't think they should stop you considering, you know, one, they're all like average to below average quarterbacks, and two, they're all very old too. They're all like 36 years old or older. So it shouldn't stop you from taking a quarterback, but then again, the fact that this quarterback class at the top is not that great, that might be a reason why teams might go for a Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter at number one, two, or three than forcing a quarterback.
Is there a quarterback right now in the draft, Max, that you think out of the three guys that I mentioned, let's for the Browns' perspective, let's just narrow it down. If it's Kirk Cousins or Russell Wilson, is there a quarterback sitting there, either Shador or Cam, that you think pairs up really well, is sort of taking a guy to be a mentor and then drafting a rookie behind him to take over?
Yeah, I think my personal QB1 is Shador Sanders, and I mean, it would be nice if you had a veteran option where he could sit for a little bit and, you know, get acclimated to the NFL, because, like, I still don't think Cleveland's in a great spot to support a quarterback with their offensive line situation and with their receiving core. So I don't think it'd be great if Shador or Cam Ward was out there week one behind that supporting cast. So I think that would be nice if either of them had the option of sitting for a little bit before they took over the starting job. So I like Shador the most, and it seems more and more likely that he'll be the guy that's available at number two, because it feels like Cam Ward's going to be the number one overall pick to somebody, most likely Tennessee. So I would like it if Kirk Cousins was there, or Russell Wilson was there, or Aaron Rodgers was there to help him develop in his rookie year.
If you have to pick one of those two guys, just flat out, forget the previous question, just quarterback ability in general, are you going Russ or are you going Kirk?
I would go with Russell Wilson. I think Russell Wilson showed, at least to the Steelers, that he could be a league average-ish quarterback. I think Kirk Cousins, that Achilles injury, he looked like a shell of himself last year. And unfortunately, that kind of injury and at his age, I don't know if he'll ever get back to the Kirk Cousins that we saw a few years ago, right? So I trust Russell Wilson a little bit more, and I think he's a better option than Kirk Cousins. But like I said, it feels like Russell Wilson's either going to the Steelers or maybe going to the Giants or something like that. I don't know how much Cleveland's an option for him, so maybe Kirk's the more likely one, but I would prefer Russell Wilson over Kirk Cousins.
All right, Max Chadwick with us here on the hotline. Max Chadwick to PFF. I did want to get into it. It may be a little bit of an odd question, but it's interesting that the spot that Cleveland's in, more likely to cause an issue for you if the Browns decided to go with Russ. Kenny Pickett, with the fact that Russ replaced him in Pittsburgh and sort of ended up taking his job after Mason Rudolph sort of won it over there, or Russell Wilson with Jerry Jeudy, considering they didn't work in Denver?
Oh, good question. I don't really think, the Pickett and Russ one, I mean, it's almost like, dude, get over yourself, right? It didn't work for you in Pittsburgh. It didn't work for Russ really that much either. It's like these are two guys just desperately trying to cling to a job right now. So, I mean, it's like you're going to be crossing paths with people that you've played with before. And the Jeudy one's interesting, right, because that is more, they are throwing to each other, so they need a connection there. And obviously it didn't work great in Denver, but at the same time, right, maybe in a new situation, in a new offense, it might work a little bit better. And maybe that built-in chemistry they had in Denver could help them, actually, in Cleveland. So, yeah, I don't think that those things should really play that much of a factor. I mean, Cleveland right now should be looking for any answer at quarterback and not really caring about the dynamics of a couple of players in the locker room, how that would work.
All right, Max. Hey, listen, you like Shador. I like Shador. We're lockstep there. You're either going to, with your answer here, take me down a peg or play into my delusion. But Shador today posted a video of Travis Bezanna, the number one overall pick for the Cleveland Guardians, on his Instagram story. No context. I would think nothing of it most of the time. The video is from November. Is there anything here? Does it mean anything at all coming from Shador Sanders? Does this mean just nothing?
I might, honestly. I kind of read the tea leaves in social media a little bit too much as well. And Shador Sanders is a guy that loves to tease things on social media. So that might be a sign. Maybe he knows Travis personally, and that's why he's posting it. But that is interesting for sure about, Cleveland Guardian on his Instagram story about a month and a half before the draft. So that is certainly eye-opening for sure. I mean, obviously he doesn't control where he goes in the draft, but that is pretty interesting, and at least we know that maybe he's open to playing for Cleveland when there's a lot of rumors that maybe Deion Sanders might pull an Eli Manning and Archie Manning and not let him go to Cleveland. I don't think it's going to happen with Shador Sanders. I know that's been rumored for a while. I think he's willing to become a Cleveland Brown if it needs to happen.
If it helps you at all play into the fact of the other side of this, Travis Bezanna is Australian. So he was in Australia and then was playing at Oregon State in college. I mean, possible. They could know each other. I would think fat chance, though, there.
Yeah, maybe not, right? So, like I said, Shador Sanders, he's had Giants make custom cleats before. Like, he's really playing into it right now. And I'm sure he's just probably wants to be a top three pick in the NFL draft as somebody, whether it be Tennessee, Cleveland, or New York. He's probably very, very open to playing for any of those three teams. So it makes sense that he's trying to drum up some hype for him to Cleveland right now.
If we look at the draft right now, Max, I am looking at teams right now, because obviously we could see Tennessee go with Cam Ward at one. You could see the Giants trading up and taking Cam Ward at one. If we're looking at a team to either come up in those top two spots, trading with the Browns or trading ahead of the Browns in order to take a quarterback, the Giants are the obvious answer. The Raiders feel like they're off the table. Is there a sleeper team that would move up to take a quarterback, or maybe even take, like an Abdul Carter or somebody else?
That is an interesting question. I would have said the Jets before, but they signed, you know, Justin Fields that 2-year deal. Maybe that does not keep him from doing that move and trying to get up, because maybe they don't feel like Justin Fields is a long-term play for them. So maybe the Jets are still an option, but yeah, it's hard. I mean, I don't really know who else would be willing to do that to go up and get a quarterback, because a lot of the other teams at least have some sort of answer at the quarterback position, right? So yeah, I don't know who'd be willing to do that right now. So that's actually an interesting question. Maybe the Jets still with the situation that quarterback would still want to do it, but yeah, I don't know who else would be willing to go up for that high. Maybe Carolina to go get like an after card, like you said before, or something like that. But yeah, I don't really know who else would be willing to go up for a quarterback right now.
All right, let's play with this idea. If there's one team right now you think ends up with the worst quarterback situation for the year, who's currently without one. So we look at the Browns, we look at the Steelers, I'm trying to think, the Titans, as well as the Giants. Those are your four teams that are really without a quarterback situation figured out yet. Which of these teams ends up with the worst end of the deal?
I'm worried about New York right now, man. I am. The Giants. I think, you know, they might be left at the altar without a bride if they're not careful here. And they need to be aggressive to move up to the top two, I think, to get a quarterback if they even can at this point, right? Because, I mean, the way Tennessee is doing their offseason right now, they did not bring in a veteran, even though I thought they might have. They really tried to rebuild that offensive line. I mean, all signs are pointing to drafting a quarterback at number one overall. So feels like Cam Ward's going to be a Titan. And then at number two, right, you just mentioned before, Cleveland, they might be desperate enough to get a quarterback as well and get Shador Sanders in there, right? So I'm worried about New York right now. If they don't get Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, then it feels like they might get one of those two guys. But, I mean, I think the Giants right now are in a tough spot, and maybe Cleveland as well if they're playing as, you know, Kenny Pickett or Kirk Cousins or something like that, and they don't draft a quarterback at number two, that might be the answer as well. But, yeah, Cleveland and the Giants right now are in a pickle right now. It's going to be very interesting to see what their plan is at quarterback.
All right, Max, as always, appreciate you setting aside the time. Always good to talk to you, and I look forward to doing it next Friday at 8 o'clock as well.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Again, Max Chadwick, college football analyst for PFF, and he joined us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Something's got to be feeling good. He just keeps coming out. He's just a little bit of Browns, little forecasting here, a little forecasting there. The kid found a video from, and it wasn't even, if it was like some absurd play, I'd be like, oh, you know, Shador looked at an athlete making a great play and ended up, yeah, I'll just post it. It was like a November video of a whole lot of nothing. It was one swing and then him jogging, and that was about it. And I'm like, okay, this feels a little odd. Again, we'll talk about that coming up a little bit later, but I just thought the entire thing was interesting. I thought it was a really good conversation with Max. I thought he had really good stuff to say, again, on Miles and everything that we sort of touched on. It's now two guests this week, him and Matt Verderam, who we talked to yesterday. No belief in Kenny Pickett. It is zero belief in Kenny Pickett. I see everyone talking to people in Philly. You're talking to people in Pittsburgh. I'm talking to the national people. I'm talking to the people looking at this thing big picture, and they're like, no chance. No shot Kenny Pickett's coming back to be a good quarterback. And again, Max is he's a college football analyst. He watched Kenny at Pitt. He watched him and looked at him coming out of the draft. Doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of faith there from somebody who, in all honesty, probably would have had faith in Kenny Pickett. Like, if you're looking at this and he got drafted in the first round, you'd be surprised. But like, oh, maybe there's something we missed on Kenny. No, not at all. Nothing that seems to be missed on Kenny at all. I did want to get into a response that Miles gave today, though, that I thought was very interesting, right? And Miles was asked about whether or not he sort of had plans and had knowledge of the plans, what the Browns were going to do it to. And from first knowledge and first glance, it's like, okay, he says next question. Only next question he gave, only no comment he gave. It was, all right, well, maybe he's just not willing to talk about the draft. That's not something he wants to talk about. And then he was on with Andrew Siciliano, and he gave you the, yeah, I know our plans at quarterback, and sort of gave you a little, oh, well, can't tell you, but I'm excited. Can't tell you, but I'm excited. it felt a little personal. A next question there felt a little personal. And if you do the quick little dive into why would this be personal? Well, it was Jason Lloyd who asked the question. Jason Lloyd of The Athletic. You can commonly hear him on our station. I think Jason does a very good job at reporting. I think Jason writes in fact. I've read a lot of what Jason has written. I know Jason. I know him to be a good writer. And working for The Athletic, you don't get to put out things that are just blatantly false. But he wrote a piece and basically yesterday put out the fact that the Browns probably should have traded Miles and threw in the idea that Miles routinely and not unbeknownst to be showing up late to some things and entirely skipping mandatory events. And it feels very personal there that Miles would throw you the next question. Like, it was the only question that it felt like, I think it was the only question Jason asked in that entire press conference.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
And then it was next question. Felt a little personal. Felt like a bad spot to be in. Honestly, a bad look on Myles Garrett. Like, I'm not saying you got to like it and you have to completely be, I'm going to be excited because my name was sort of rubbed through the dirt in what is probably the truth, but it got a little dirt rubbed on it. I'm not saying you have to be excited about it. I'm not saying you have to be overjoyed, but at the same time, it feels like a respectful thing to do would be answer the question. Let's start this thing on a new foot, right? Move past it. You kept journalists kind of bouncing back and forth, trying to figure out what on earth is happening. They're writing that, you know, your camp is saying that you'll sit out games, you're not going to play, and then all of a sudden you're back signing massive contract extensions. And kind of hurts those people's reputation as well. Kind of hurts those people's thought process beyond this entire thing. It's just very interesting to me. I did think, I was interested, though, in the question that Jason asked. In what the Browns are doing it to and whether or not Miles has a real answer to it, right? Max last segment would tell us he probably has a pretty good idea what's going to happen there. You're probably not coming back and signing a contract extension, not knowing what's happening there. And I think I would tend to agree. That's probably where I would sit too. There's no chance that Myles Garrett got back in the building and was like, I'm all gung-ho. And I don't think, again, we talked about this the whole first hour. I don't think he's all gung-ho about being back on the Browns. I think it's a reality. But again, I don't think that there's a chance that he's coming back not knowing what the Browns are doing it to. I think at that point, you might rather sit out. What other option do you have? I mean, $160 million does sound nice. But the fact that he's not getting a response, the fact that there's no plan sent to Myles Garrett, there has to be a plan sent to Myles. I would be making the argument that not only does Myles probably know the plan, I would make the argument that Myles is probably partially involved in the plan. Right? I'm sure with your best player, a team coming off a 3-14 season, and a lot of money tied up in a guy that Myles very obviously and well-sourced does not take very kindly to, you probably turn to your best player and go, Myles, what do you think we should do here? What do you think about this idea? And Myles told you when he requested for a trade, I don't like that idea very much. But again, you don't necessarily get that choice. You don't necessarily get to sort of play both ends of that and have it go the way that you want to and say, I don't like your choice, but now that I'm back, you have to do this. But Myles was overall excited. Right, it sounded like he was having a good time. I want to play back for you the clip of when he was with Andrew Siciliano on the best podcast available via the Cleveland Browns, because it does feel like Myles has an inkling. I don't know if it's what's happening at two, but it feels like that's the only way you get a response like this. Again, like, and JP started this idea and this question whether or not he's sort of tipping his hand that the Browns want to go quarterback at two. Because what about Russell Wilson, or what about Kirk Cousins, who you have no clue whether or not he'll be able to be here? We'll be able to talk about that on Monday, because we'll figure out by Sunday what's happening. But there's no way any of those guys that you look at them and you go, okay, I mean, they got me excited. I'm real happy about the prospects of this. I mean, there's no way you feel great about Kirk. You feel great about Russ. Guys, these guys don't have a job for a reason at this point. I mean, aside from maybe Kirk, you can make the argument against Kirk, but if that's what your plans are, Myles' smile could quickly turn into a frown. Just by the fact that the Falcons do not have to give him up. I don't know that he's tipping his hand. I don't know that this is a guarantee the Browns take a quarterback at two. I don't know this is a guarantee that there's one quarterback they're looking to sign. What I do know is that Myles was smiling and Myles was in the building to recruit Russell Wilson, telling me that there is clearly a little bit of a pursuit happening there. The Browns are interested, and that is at least something Myles has signed on to, is I'll at least help you try to get the guy. Might not love it, but at least I'll help you try to get the guy. And I also know that there's no way Myles is believing that is a long-term option. So you'd have to be in somewhat interested at a quarterback at some point in this draft, and Myles has to find somebody that he likes. 216-474-0092. I asked to you guys whether or not you think that Myles and his decision to come back had a lot to do with the Browns' plan at the number two pick. You can also get me on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C Jake. We'll get to your calls coming up here in about 5 minutes. Get a grip coming to you in 25 minutes. It's Jake Volnick with you guys right here on The Fan. We're sitting here taking a look at whether or not Myles sort of knows the plan and what they're going to do at the number two spot in the draft. Right? And when we got this question asked, maybe a personal next question, but Myles decided not to answer it. He decided to go, I'm not going to comment on this one. We'll get to the next one. I don't know what's happening at two. Let's just move on. And I don't know. It feels like a no-duh moment that you would keep your star in the loop. Like, I don't know if you go through and say, hey, does Ethan Posick, and not a knock on Ethan Posick, he's your starting center. Does Ethan Posick know who the Browns are going to draft at two? I don't know that the answer to that question is yes. Right? Pick whoever you want. I mean, I don't want it to be an attack on Ethan. Like, does Devin Bush, know who you're drafting it to? Does Grant Delpit, right? Great player, good safety, know who you're drafting it to? Heck, extended out, does Denzel Ward know? I don't know that the answer to that question is yes. I don't think that Miles is back, and I think that Miles is the type of guy that you have to share that plan with. And if you don't, I don't know that Miles is here. I mean, listen, he might be. I don't know that it's a guarantee that he was going to get moved at any point and that Miles is actually sold. And I don't think that he's necessarily sold on what the Browns are going to do it to. I don't know that he's excited about it. But I do think he knows. He has to have an idea at what they're going to decide to do. I mean, you're drafting second, guys. Let's be realistic. Right now, number one pick, what options are on the table? I'm telling you right now, it's going to be either Cam Ward or Abdul Carter drafted at one. And it's feeling a lot like Cam Ward. But you have two scenarios to play out in your head if you're the Browns. Okay, Cam Ward gets drafted. Where do we go next? Okay, Abdul Carter gets drafted. Where do we go next? Miles, there's two options that play out in our head. Either Cam Ward gets drafted one and we go this guy, Abdul Carter gets drafted one, we go this guy, or hey, Miles, it doesn't matter who goes one as long as it's not this guy. So he's got to know the plan. I'd imagine he's known the plan and sort of where they sat on it probably for the last 2 months and probably regularly checking in on where that plan is. That him and Andrew Berry have had the conversation and have gone down this road, and it doesn't just stop where it is right now. Because how could it? Star player, whether or not he wants to be here or not, you keep that guy sort of just in the mix on what's happening. It's the right thing to do as an organization. You want your players to trust you. You want your players to feel like they have a say. Only way to do that is keep a guy like Myles Garrett in there and having a thought process sort of played out to it. All right, 216-474-0092. I'm going to get into a little bit of a separate conversation about a quarterback, but I did want to go out on the phones. Martin Strongsville wanted to get his thoughts off on Myles Garrett. What's going on, Martin?
Well, first off, Jake, I almost threw up when we had Peterlin and you for that hour of the Shador Fest.
Oh, yeah, you didn't enjoy that? Yeah, I mean, that's danger zone right there. You're getting me and JP
I didn't
together.
Enjoy that at all. And I also think that you guys are, I think everybody in this town is short-sighted. Because here's the bottom line. If Abdul Carter or Mason Graham is available at two, that's where they go. And the reason they do that is this. Everybody knows this. Defense wins championships. Offense sells tickets. Okay. Now, I know that that's going to make you rile and say, well, what about next year? Well, Miles has always said he knows who the quarterback's going to be.
All right, sorry, Martin. I had to let you go. But I don't know that you can sit there and look at it and say anything different than, like, you look at what Miles had. He knew what the quarterback was going to be. Listen, I don't think Shador Sanders is short-sighted here. I don't know that it is a short-sighted thought on anything that's happening there. I think Shador Sanders is truly a long-sighted, is that a word? Far-sighted, Jax, help me. Is that English? Do we know? Long-sighted?
Far-sighted. Far-sighted, I think,
right?
Yeah.
Well, I guess when you go like near-sighted, but he said short-sighted. I don't know. I know. Listen, I wear glasses, okay? Yes, I can't see. All right, I understand. I'm very much a near-sighted person. I can't see far away. I know how this works. But I just feel like, doesn't matter. All right. So I am farsighted in my thoughts on Shador Sanders, not because, okay, I think it can work and it's all about this year, but because truthfully, I look at it and think Shador can work and Shador can be NFL ready right now. But that's not even the part that I'm worried about. I'm not worried about whether my quarterback can work right now. If I thought Cam Ward was the better fit, or I thought neither of these quarterbacks were the fit, I'm still looking for the guy that I think has the ability to be the Browns quarterback long term. I think Shador Sanders possesses that ability. I think he possesses sort of that trait to go out there and the ability to go out and be a long term quarterback. I really do. Let's go back out of the phones. Eric is in Parma. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, man. I was just calling about Miles. I really don't think it's out of the question that he pretty much re-signed just to be the highest paid non-quarterback ever, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's out of the question that he just asks for a trade again next season if we're not doing too good, or even halfway through the next season if we're not making plays, if we're not winning games. He still has the freedom to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you're 100% right, Eric, and I appreciate the call. I don't think you're wrong, but I think what you realize is that Miles, by signing the extension, right, he realized where he went wrong with the no-trade clause. But really, guys, the no-trade clause is just, okay, if Miles doesn't want to be traded, Miles doesn't have to be traded. It's all that happens there. If they say, hey, Miles, you're a Tennessee Titan, Miles can now go, nope, I'm sure not. You trade me to the Lions or you don't trade me at all. The problem in that scenario, though, is that second part still on the table. The don't trade him at all part is still on the table with Miles. You're under contract. It's the exact same scenario. By signing an extension, he did not give himself any more leverage to get traded, other than the fact of the team that is trading for him knows that he's locked up on a four-year extension. That's the only difference. But right now, you're still under contract. If the Browns don't want to trade you, he still doesn't have to trade you. Plus, I really don't think it's the money thing for Miles. I don't think that being the highest paid non-quarterback makes a difference. He was going to get paid that anyway. Like, you were looking at paying Miles, and the money has never been a question for the Browns. They were always willing to pay Miles a ridiculous asking price. That's been part of this conversation. Hey, we'll hand Miles a lucrative contract. He said, money's not going to get me to stay here. I don't think ultimately it was just money that did. Definitely didn't hurt, though. Definitely didn't hurt seeing $160 million thrown out on the table. Yeah. I'd love to see a contract extension for myself personally worth $160 million. If anybody's in the market, just kidding. We're not doing that. We're very happy. Good where we're at. Unless, Keith? Yes. Keith? $160 million? No, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that's going out on a limb. Probably not in the budget. I did want to go to the idea here, and I teased it as another quarterback conversation, and it was one that just popped into my head as we were talking. The entirety with Russell Wilson right now, it's between the Browns and he visited the Giants today. He went on a little bit of a visit with the Giants the same way he did with the Browns yesterday. He went into New York today. How much are we reading into the fact if Russ goes through and says, you know what, both options on the table, both these teams offered me a deal, which we don't know to be true and is not true to this point to our knowledge about the Browns. But let's say it comes out a little bit down the line next week. The Browns offered me a deal. The Giants offered me a deal. How much are you reading into the fact if Russ picks the Giants over the Browns? Because, like, disastrous organization, right? You can say that about the Browns. The Giants right now are a disastrous organization. You look there and you go, defense might be okay. Might be an all right defense. Not great. I would say the Browns defense is probably better than the Giants defense. I don't feel like I'm going out on a limb on saying that. And then offensively, well, your wide receivers right now consist of, who did they just pay? Darius Slayton? They paid Darius Slayton a contract. And yeah, Malik Nabers, great wide receiver. But unless Darius Slayton's throwing it to you, that doesn't feel great. In the running back room, you might as well be the Browns as well. Right? Similar situation. Ah, we're excited. Tyrone Tracy's running the ball next year. Right? Not even a knock on Tyrone Tracy. He's not Saquon Barkley. He's not Christian McCaffrey. Could be available. But he's not either of those two guys. It's a very similar situation. Except New York, right now, the defense is not in the same spot that the Browns defense is in. I would say the Browns defense much stronger, especially following Myles Garrett coming back. And Miles was there to talk to Russ, right? They had the conversation right back and forth, Miles trying to recruit you. And if you still go through and you go, yeah, I'd rather play for New York. Now, I think a base, no matter what quarterback you're talking about, yeah, that hurts a little bit because you feel like your situation's better, which means that the perception around your team right now probably isn't feeling good. And you're looking at it going, oh my God, if we're picking Joe Shane and the New York Giants over us, whew, bad spot. Don't want to be there. But I do think the conversation changes a little bit when it does boil down to Russell Wilson. Ultimately, if Russell Wilson decided, you know what, I'm going to go play in the Big Apple, the big city of New York, And I'm going to decide that's where I want to continue my career at 36 years old, and I'm going to go play for the Giants. I think that in reality, probably says a whole lot less about Browns versus Giants. Probably says a whole lot more about Russ and the kind of person that he is. Oh, you're telling me I can get to New York? Spotlights on me? Biggest media circle you could possibly ask for? There or LA? And LA's not looking for a quarterback. But is New York's as an option? Yeah, I'm interested. Again, I think that says a lot more about sort of where you stand if you're Russell Wilson than where you currently stand if you're the Browns versus the Giants. I don't think there's much to say with anything about that. I think Russ is just one of those guys that you look at and he probably goes, yeah, you know what? That adds up. That makes a lot of sense. Russ picking New York over Cleveland, I think, is a lot more about picking New York over Cleveland than it is about picking the Giants over the Browns. I just don't think there's much to be said about those two football teams. Very similar spots. And if your sell is, I'm going to play in a big city and I'm not going to play in Cleveland, I'd look at Russ and I'd say, it's kind of the decision I'd expect you to make. Right? You played in a small market and playing for Pittsburgh didn't play out all that well for you. You didn't enjoy it too much. Yeah, crazy thought. Wild that you didn't enjoy playing in the small market where the diehard Midwest fan base. I mean, consider PA the Midwest. I feel like that might be a stretch. Pittsburgh, like I'm already stretching to call Cleveland the Midwest. Are we calling the Pittsburgh? I don't know. Like, they got a steel town vibe to them. All right, it feels like very Midwest vibe. But you're in the Rust Belt type of feel that you get there. It probably doesn't play all too nicely. They don't love you out there. And now you'd like to go and play more for the paparazzi and the cameras and everything else. Yeah. Okay, Russ. So if that's the case, if he decides he wants to go to New York, a nice firm handshake. Congratulations to you. Go have fun. You weren't my top option anyway. I really would have rather had Kirk, and I might not have that now either. But I'm going to go get a rookie, and I'm going to figure something out. You just wait. You just wait. All right. Coming up in 5 minutes, as we always do, at 9 o'clock, it'll be Get a Grip. A whole packed back half of the show still to come. It's Jake Volnick with you guys right here on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.